Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by our resident coach, David Fizdale, our NBA champ, Kendrick Perkins. And Perk, I know you are in Texas right now. How is everything with your family?
Everything is all right with the Perkins family, Rachel. And I thank y'all for asking. I appreciate all the love from ESPN. But my house, the pipe bust, and I went there yesterday. I'm living in the hotel, and I was 38 hot. My wife wasn't, though. She said, "Ooh, I've been wanting to change this out anyway, so the insurance gonna pay for it." But seriously, you know what? I posted these pictures to remind people of what a lot of people are going through in the state of Texas, and to pray for not only me, but for the ones who don't have house insurance and are less fortunate, who can't afford to get these problems fixed, because a lot of people are dealing with these same issues.
Mm-hmm. Fizz, you see those pictures. They're rough.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. And like Perk and I was talking off the air, you know, Texas has gone through it from a weather standpoint. When you talk about, they got 55 inches of rain dumped on them not too long ago in one sitting. And now they have this. And so a lot of people have been going through some really tough stuff. And you put COVID on top of that. All you can do is pray for people, and hopefully a lot of people will give and try to help people that are in need.
Absolutely, and push the local government to take care of the people it's responsible for, just saying.
Yes.
All right, guys, wishing the best to everyone out in Texas. Hope you get some enjoyment out of our basketball show here. Coming up, the Bucks have lost four games in a row, but Giannis Antetokounmpo says not time to panic. What is bothering Milwaukee right now? We will discuss that. First, though, a lot of what determines whether something is successful depends on the conditions around it. For example, there's a catfish that scientists say can regularly swim thousands of miles a year. But you take it out of the water, can't flop for more than even a few feet. The conditions radically change what the fish is capable of. The same is true in the NBA, especially this year, where we have seen a huge change in conditions due to COVID. Practice time severely limited. Players constantly rotating in and out of the lineup. Teams often can't even meet all in the same room, which means hardly anyone's been able to hone the kind of schemes and communication that make for good defense. And the results have led to a staggering change in what's normal. Teams are averaging 112 points a game this season. That is the highest mark in the past 50 years. Meanwhile, what used to be a terrible defensive rating is now merely average. 5 years ago, the Lakers had the worst defense in the NBA. If they were defending at that exact same rate today, they'd rank in the top half of the league. So what happens when conditions shift this drastically? Well, enter the Nets, a team with almost limitless offensive potential, but plenty of weaknesses defensively. And in a normal year, that might mean Brooklyn could only climb so far in the standings. In a normal year, chemistry problems might arise from the fact that KD, Kyrie, James Harden have only been able to play 7 games together so far. But in this year, in these conditions, the Nets are thriving. Take last night's game against the Suns, who have been thriving themselves in this over-caffeinated season. Both Durant and Kyrie were sitting with injuries, and Phoenix took advantage early with, yep, an explosion of offense. Devin Booker was cooking. The Suns scored 42 points in the second quarter alone. Phoenix led 75-54 at halftime. 75 at halftime, which would have been notable except for how the Nets were then able to storm back, getting a huge boost from its role players, who not only tightened the score, but actually defended enough to stop the bleeding. Still, Chris Paul was out there looking more like 25 than 35. He scored the Suns' final 11 points straight, including this little a bit of point guard magic there. That's nice. And then three. Yeah, after three. Chris Paul. Woo. But James Harden right there with him. Get the little finger roll. Oh, nice. Then with 31 seconds on the clock, yep, it's the pull-up and money. The Nets hold on to win. It was the biggest second-half comeback in franchise history. Because of course it was. In this season, we see records being broken nearly every single night. In this season, conditions are different. Some teams are going to be able to swim a whole lot further than they might otherwise. No one more so, apparently, than the Brooklyn Nets. So, Perk, what was the most impressive part to you of the Nets' comeback last night?
Well, it was James Harden, and I think he gave us all a friendly reminder on why he led the league in scoring for three straight years. When you look at this big three in Brooklyn, when they all three are on the court together, James Harden takes a back seat and sacrifice and move to that point guard position. But we all was questioning, why is James Harden only getting 15 shots? Or why he only took 12 shots? But he's also leading the league in assists. But with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving being out, James Harden said, you know what? Let me remind the world that I can still put the ball in the basket in great fashion. And he did just that against a tough Phoenix Suns team who had been on the tear. So when I look at what happened last night, James Harden was the most impressive thing, because dealing with this COVID situation, we don't know what could happen in the postseason. Kevin Durant might be out during the course of a series, and James Harden might have to step up and go back to the James Harden of old. So I was more impressed by James Harden in the way that he dominated that second half.
Yeah, Perk, I think you hit it on the head, brother. But, first off, Phoenix is a team that's learning how to do it for 48 minutes, night in, night out. So you're going to see Phoenix have losses like this. This is going to happen as they mature around Chris Paul, Crowder, veterans like that. But with that being said, what I think the credit really should be going to Sean Marks and the roster construction. Because not only does he have big-time stars on this team that can carry you night in, night out if somebody's out. But the role players, they got really good role players. They're so deep. They got a guy like Tyler Johnson, who is the third point guard on their team, scoring 17 last night. We know what Joe Harris can do. They got multiple guys that can shoot that ball, get it going, and knock down shots. And when you put a guy like, it could be James Harden out with KD one night, and Kyrie's the guy carrying them. It could be KD carrying them without the other two guys. That's how talented they are. That's how their roster is constructed, and they can light it up on any given night.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Sean Marks. Of course, Sean Marks and Steve Nash got to know each other, not in Brooklyn, but when they were teammates back in Phoenix. And in fact, the crowd last night in Phoenix gave a huge ovation to Steve Nash. Steve Nash, of course, made a joke that Robert Sarver was still making money off of him because they let extra fans in the building last night. But that whole team, right? You've got Steve Nash at the helm coaching. You've got Amari Stoudemire there on the coaching staff. Of course, Mike D'Antoni also on the coaching staff. A lot of Phoenix connections. It was nice in the building last night. And of course, as you note, Sean Marks as well. Let's move on, guys, to the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic scoring 43 of Denver's 99 points last night, but it wasn't enough to beat the Celtics on the road. I should note that Jokic scored just four of those 43 in the fourth quarter, but after the game, Nuggets coach Mike Malone was very quick to clarify it wasn't Jokic who needed to do more. Take a listen.
Well, it's not just running out of gas. It's that he needs help. You know what I mean? We're playing a back-to-back tomorrow night, and every night Nicole goes out there and literally puts his team on his back. And, we just need some guys to step up and help him. Jamal tried to get it going, but, he can't have nine turnovers on the road as our starting guard, and he knows that. Other guys have to find ways to contribute, but speaks to how well Nicole is playing. He leaves it all out there every night. That's why he's an MVP candidate, obviously. But it can't be just one guy in this league. You need other guys to step up and contribute. And, hopefully we get that tomorrow night. As I mentioned before, I thought the large majority of our guys out there competed at a high level. Didn't necessarily shoot the ball well, didn't necessarily defend well at all times, but for the most part, it wasn't because of lack of effort.
So, Perk, you heard Coach Malone there saying other guys need to step up around Jokic. I know you are not afraid, my friend, to name some names. So go ahead. Who is he talking about?
He's talking to Jamal Murray. I mean, point blank, period. When you think about it, Jamal Murray gave us that great sample size in the bubble last year in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, he is a rising superstar. Well, he has not lived up to this season. His season average this season is the same as last season in the regular season. And that is not enough. We are looking for big things out of him. Donovan Mitchell has elevated his game. It's time for Jamal Murray to do the same. 19 points a night is not going to cut it. He needs to be in that 25, 26-point range. And he was talking, I think, look, I'm going to put an address on it for Coach Mike Malone. He was talking to Jamal Murray.
I think that's one of the guys, Perk. But I also think he was talking to Porter Jr. in some respects, too. You know, he had a donut. And so when you got a guy that could score in bunches and score with scoring as his thing, you can't show up with a donut. And you got to figure out other ways to score. It can't be I didn't get my plays called, I didn't get a pass. You got to go get some easy buckets. You got to run the floor. You got to go get an offensive rebound put back. You got to make a back cut. You got to get yourself going somehow. I remember a lot of times Bron and D-Wade would always say, if I could get a couple of layups, everything else is going to get going for me. If I can get fouled, everything else will get going. And for some reason, Porter Jr. didn't have that in his game last night. He didn't have that force in his game, and I think he will respond. But I agree, Jamal Murray's one of the guys, and no one's going to be harder on himself than a guy like Jamal Murray. But I think, too, Jamal Murray's got to start playing in the now. He can't be worried about last year's bubble and all of these expectations and all of that crap. That's noise. That's ego-driven crap. He needs to just get that noise out of his head, focus in on being the player that he can be night in, night out, and play in the now. Don't worry about what's going to happen later on or what people are saying.
Well, that is very good advice, Coach. And by the way, when Coach refers to the donut, he's not talking about Krispy Kreme. He's talking about the score sheet. So, yes, absolutely, Coach. You got to find other ways to contribute. All right, guys, coming up on this show, yes. D'Angelo Russell slated to have knee surgery. It's going to keep him out at least a month. So where do the Wolves go from here? They just got Cat back and healthy. We will discuss. Former All-Star guard D'Angelo Russell will undergo arthroscopic surgery today. It's going to remove a loose body in his left knee. Whenever I have to say that sentence, it's always kind of creepy. Anyway, it's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. When the Wolves traded for Russell more than a year ago, they, of course, envisioned pairing him with his friend Karl-Anthony Towns. That duo, though, has played a grand total. This is incredible. Only 5 games together since the trade due to various issues, injuries, of course, the shutdown. Coach Fizz, where do the Wolves go from here? Cat just came back from his battle with COVID, and now D'Angelo's out for more than a month.
I think the Wolves are going to take a big, deep breath right now and chill out and be patient, because this is what they've had to deal with. These are just unforeseen circumstances that have come up since they've gotten D-Lo. When you talk about COVID, the bubble, just everything that's happened to Karl-Anthony Towns and his family, and now this with D-Lo, I think you just got to be patient, because one thing you know, when both of those guys are healthy and playing, they are good basketball players, and on many nights they can be great. And I think with that friendship, you just got to wait it out. And good things will start coming their way. Other guys will be able to fill roles that they're not normally used to filling. They'll get better in that just because they have that experience and those touches and those opportunities. And so once they do get totally healthy, they'll be a better basketball team. But they're stuck right now where they are. They got a good coaching staff, a hell of a coach in Ryan Saunders. And those guys will stick together. Hopefully they can get back to a place of health.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we all are waiting to see this duo perform together on the court, and we will. And you're right, Coach, they have to be patient. But here's the opportunity for that number one pick to be able to get his feet wet a little bit more and have the ball in his hands in Anthony Edwards. I think this is a time now when you know you're not really playing for anything, and I know it's early in the season, but it don't take a rocket scientist to see that they're not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So hand the keys over to the Rook, let him ball out, let him get his feet wet, let him get his reps up, let him get his minutes and his touches so that when he goes into next season, he already has played through his mistakes and he's learned the game, so that now instead of having a big two, a dynamic two, they got a big three. So I think this is great for Anthony Edwards.
Well, that moment with LeBron last night, you could see the smile, the confidence, straighten up a little bit after that. It's those experiences that build your NBA career. But still, I can't believe that number. 5. D'Angelo Russell and Cat have only played 5 games together since that trade. Just a run of bad luck there. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk Bucks. Giannis says it is not time to panic after Milwaukee lost its 4th straight last night. We will listen to exactly his words. Our Bucks reporter, Eric Woodyard, is going to join us as well. Up next on The Jump.
At the end of the day, we lost 4 in a row. We're not going home, we're still here. It's not the playoffs. obviously it's frustrating, you know. You want to win. You want to, especially a game like this, big game, guys playing hard. We have to be better. And obviously one of our best players in the team and playmakers and best defenders on the team is not playing with us. Obviously it's not an excuse. I'm not the guy that gives excuses, but he's a big part of who we are, you know, and we need him. I kind of have the feeling that everybody's in a panic mode, which is should not be the case. We should keep improving. We should keep improving. We should keep playing good basketball. We should watch the film. And at the end of the day, we got to go out there and compete. You know, when you come here, nothing can be easy.
Our next guest is our NBA reporter, Eric Woodyard. Welcome back. Eric, always so nice to see you. And we just heard Giannis urge everyone following the Bucks not to panic. I think this is just fascinating, right? Everyone told Milwaukee for the past couple years, hey, what you did in the regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the playoffs. Then they spend the regular season tinkering, Eric, and they lose some games. And people are panicked about the regular season. You're with the Bucks all the time. What is going on right now?
It's a few different things. Obviously, as Giannis stated, you can't underestimate the fact that Jrue Holiday is out. He's a big part of the team, big playmaker, does a lot for this team on both sides of the ball. No disrespect to Bryn Forbes and those guys, but they're not him. So I think that's the number one thing. Number two, this team has struggled to close out games. You look at them entering fourth quarters, when they're down, going into the fourth quarter, they're 0-9. So they need to learn how to close games out. You can date back to numerous occasions, starting with, you know, when they played the Celtics early in the year. They were just on our air playing the Phoenix Suns. You know, closing out those games is going to be huge for them. So I think when you factor in both of those things, that's the problem with this team. But as Giannis said, there's no panic. The front office, I spoke to somebody from the front office today, said the same thing, no panic mode. It's just a part of the growing pains. And, I mean, they're just reshifting their focus from regular season mode to trying to become a better team when it matters.
Right. And look, Eric, I agree with everything that you said. And you're right. It's not time to panic, but it is time to have some concerns. And to me, the Bucks have lost their identity, not on the offensive end, but on the defensive end. I'm used to seeing a Bucks defense that play boxes and elbows, don't allow teams to get into the paint, a team that contests and make guys miss, don't hope that players miss. They contest shots. They have two guys that anchor their defense, and Giannis and Brook Lopez. They're not doing that. They're not making those extra effort plays. And then, by the way, I'm going to say another thing. A lot of teams around the league do not fear the deer no more. The Miami Heat exposed their hand last year, and that's what happened. So teams are saying, you know what? All we have to do is load up and take this away, and we could beat the Bucks. So the Bucks are going to have to find a way to get their identity back and get their swag and drip back and make teams fear them again.
Yeah, you hit it on the head, Perk. I think, you know, he said it right. Look, Holiday is huge for them because he addressed the biggest issue that, you know, obviously those past teams had, which was playmaking. And that has a lot to do with closing games. You need playmakers on the floor when it's not an offensive set or a called set to make plays and go get baskets when you want to close out games. And so right now, without Holiday, they are missing that. But I agree with him. Do not panic. Have urgency, but don't panic. Get into your film. And I guarantee you, with a team that's good, that's had regular season success like they had, a great coach and Bud, they're addressing two issues, focus and effort. They're not doing it consistently for 48 minutes a game on both ends of the floor. You see the turnovers that they have, very uncharacteristic. You see the mistakes on the defensive end that they're making, which obviously practice has something to do with that. We talked about that earlier. But for a Milwaukee team, we're used to seeing lockdown. That's uncharacteristic. They'll address it.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, look, it's a long way to go. I know we're past the third way mark of the season. I know everybody up there is nervous. We have to at least give them a chance to work this out before, as Giannis says, everybody panics. I want to move on to Damian Lillard. Guys, the Blazers up to fourth in the West after beating the Thunder last night. Dame has kept them afloat in the absence of CJ McCollum. Jusuf Nurkic still out. Eric, I know you're working on a big Dame story, so give us a little preview. Tell us where you think Dame lies within the MVP conversation right now, too.
I definitely think he's in the conversation. There's no denying that. You know, you see what he's been doing this season. He's been Dame Lillard. You know, that's what we become accustomed to. The latest example last night, another example of Dame time. And he's in the conversation. I think LeBron James is still at the top, my personal opinion. Nikola Jokic, you know, you have Joel Embiid. Those are some of the names. But Dame should be mentioned in that conversation. Put some respect on his name, like Birdman said. I think his mentality was a little different, you know, coming into this season. He trained as a boxer. I don't know if many people know that. It's not just a social media thing. Mm-hmm. And shameless plug, that's a story that I'm working on. But
nice.
He's trained as a boxer. He's in contact with Andre Ward. He's in contact with Terrence Crawford. He's in contact with these great boxers. And he trained up to 5 to 6 days a week, not only entering this season, but going into the bubble. And you saw that scoring average go up because that aggression is up from him training as a fighter. And you see that mentality. So I think that's really helped him this year. And he should be in that MVP conversation for sure.
Oh, he definitely is. He's top five in my book. And, I mean, literally, you could make a case and put him number one, especially with CJ being out, Nurkic being out, and the way that he's been carrying this team. We don't never hear Dame Dolla complaining about nothing.
No.
He goes out there and delivers, and he delivers in great fashion from time to time again. And I said this at the start of the season, and no disrespect to Steph Curry, but when I talk about the best point guard in the game today, I look at Damian Lillard, because not only is he giving you 29 to 30 points a night, he's also giving you around about seven and a half to eight assists a night also, and he's carrying this franchise. His partner in crime has been out for almost a month now, and it has been no slippage. So Dame Dizzle, Dame Dollar, Dame Time should be top five in the MVP conversation.
Hey, bottom line, at the end of the day, both of you guys are totally right. The guy does his job as a superstar. He don't care who's on the court with him. He don't care if he's got the best players in the role players. This guy comes out night in and night out, and he performs as a superstar would, no matter what the conditions. And that is what I love about him. And let's just get this on the record. Out of all of the MVP candidates we just named, is there any one guy that's more clutch than Dame Dollar? That is the big thing I want to pose to the group, because this dude hits big shots all the time. It's just so normal when he gets the ball at the end of the clock or the end of a game. We just expect that Dame Dollar is going to hit that shot. And that's a testament to his greatness and being able to focus in that moment. And so I think that's what makes him different. And I just love watching him play. I'm a fan of his. I think he's a class act, and he's really playing at a high level.
Absolutely. And you can find out where Damian Lillard ranks in the clutch stats for the NBA, what his boxing routine is like, all from reading Eric's story. Eric, that's not a shameless plug. That's just a plug. That's a good thing people are going to want to read. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir. Come back soon. We'll see
Appreciate
you down
y'all.
The road. Coming up, guys, on this show, Zion Williamson has played in 50 career games. So that's a good round mark, right? Perk and Coach Fizz are going to evaluate Zion's performance thus far in his young career. Stick with us. You're watching The Jump. I'm in it like a taxi. A chick want to bag me. Last night, Zion had 31 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a blowout win over the Grizzlies. After the game, Stan Van said, quote, "We keep trying to find more and more ways to use Zion. Why not? Sounds like a lot of fun if you're a coach." Zion has now played 50 NBA games. He scored at least 20 points on 50% shooting, 34 of those outings. That's tied with Shaq for the most in the last 40 seasons. Michael Jordan did that 29 times. Fizz, how do you evaluate Zion when you look at him now over these first 50 games? We have a little bit of a sample size now.
I mean, first off, it's everything I expected. This guy is different. He's special. I mean, whatever you want to put on it, that's what he is. The only question about Zion was always, can he stay healthy? And they've done a great job with that. He's in great shape. And like you said, Stan is trying to figure out more ways to use this guy. And earlier, when, you know, a few shows back, I said it. This guy's going to be one of our top scorers, top rebounders, top playmakers. He has all of that in his bag. And I know people may think I'm, you know, off with this comparison, but he reminds me so much from a skill standpoint with power of Charles Barkley. If you watch old Charles Barkley film, mm-hmm. Barkley had handle. Barkley could bring it coast to coast. Barkley could shoot threes. He was unstoppable one-on-one in the post. He could pass the ball out of the post. And he was a relentless competitor. He was physical. So when I look at Zion, I see that body of work. It's just in a bigger body. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes him scary. And man, is he fun to watch. And I'm just loving every minute of it.
Absolutely. Look, Zion Williamson is box office. And he has lived up to expectations and the hype. That body frame, that's a freight train coming. But I'm more impressed about his footwork and how mobile he is at that size. He remind me of Charles Barkley, yes, but he also remind me of a nine-year-old kid by the name of Kingston Perkins. Because that big body with those great feet and the way that he's able to move and how agile he is special, Rachel. Ooh. He is facial, and he has not let us down.
Woo, my gosh. Watching him is so fun. We had so many expectations for him, Perk. What has this matched up in terms of, we know he's great and we talk about his projected future, but when he left Duke and got drafted number one, did you expect him to look like this as a player?
I did. The way that he dominated college, I knew that he was going to come into the league and do the same thing because he's something that really we've never seen before. He's physical. He plays with an energy level that I really don't see a lot of superstars play with. And that energy level is like Joakim Noah, where it's more of a skill. Like, I see him diving on the floor for loose balls and making those winning plays and having a high motor. Adding that to what he already have is a major plus.
Absolutely. He's just fun. He's so fun. Last night was a great game, and those two are going to go at each other for a long time. All right, let's move on because Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that on a call with league general managers yesterday, Commissioner Adam Silver told top team executives that the league, as he's been saying, wouldn't jump the line of the general public to get vaccines. But he did suggest an optimistic timeline that included the possibility of late March and early April for the start of player vaccination, sources said. Now, even though that's an extremely fluid timeline, many of the league's top players are continuing to express apprehension about receiving the vaccine, as well as accepting invitations to participate in league-sponsored public service announcements to bolster broader acceptance of the coronavirus vaccine. Now, according to Woj's sources, a number of factors are contributing to players. What they're telling union reps, what their reluctance is to participate, includes uncertainty about taking the vaccine themselves, reluctant to advocate its use for others, and also a little bit of a lack of trust, first of all, in the government and in the league to some respect, especially after all these issues with the All-Star game. But it was really interesting to see Woj enumerate those in his report. And Fizz, what would you say to a player on your team about the coronavirus vaccine, especially understanding the situation a lot of these players are in with not having public trust in a government that is complete, that is earned. See, that is definitely earned that they don't have trust there.
Well, the reality is that 70%+ of the league is African American, right? And so the demographics doesn't change just because you put a logo on your jersey. The African American community as a whole is vaccine hesitant because of the past, how the government has dealt with our community and done things to our community from a medical standpoint, mm-hmm. that obviously creates pause. And so that doesn't change just because guys are in the league. And so we have to be mindful of that. And I remember when I was trying to get guys to get flu shots and I didn't have the education. I was still thinking as an African American kid that grew up in a neighborhood that was fearful of doctors in a lot of way. And I sat down with Dr. Callahan of the Knicks. She broke down the flu shot to me. She got all of the misconceptions out in front of me and told me, you know, the truth about the vaccine. And I sat down with the players. She sat down with the players. We gave them the education so now they can make a sound decision based on facts. And we had a big plus of guys that did it, and we created herd immunity on our team. And I respected the guys that didn't want to do it, and we didn't shame them or do anything like that. But we tried to give them all of the information that we could possibly give them so they could make a sound choice.
Right. And Rachel, I think the big word that stood out to me that you said is trust, right? And not only do the players not trust the government, but they right now they don't trust the NBA no more because of what's going on with the All-Star game, right? You know, the NBA going back on their word. And, you know, it was so many times that I was saying, especially in the bubble, how the Players Association and the NBA were coming together, and it was a beautiful thing to see. Well, I think the All-Star game caused a bit of separation in that trust again. And I think dealing with this COVID and this vaccine situation, this is a chance for the NBA to gain that trust back of their players. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would do is, if I'm the NBA, I would make it optional. I would say, look, the vaccine is available. Each individual player, you could choose your route on how you want to go about it, whether you want to take it or not. It's your choice. I wouldn't force it. I wouldn't do a committee voting. I would let each individual person decide whether or not they want to take the vaccine.
And I will say, I think the issues between players and the NBA right now, it's more of a speed bump. I think there is a basic trust between the league and the union. I think that has been built over the years, and I think it still exists. But there is a little speed bump right now. And then the lack of trust to what you were referring to, Fizz. If people don't know what Coach Fizz is talking about, look up the Tuskegee study. Look up a lot of the treatment of African Americans by the medical community over the centuries in this country, and you understand why there is a reluctance. But I will say that the NBA has done what you did, Fizz, is that they have put their chief medical officer, who is an African American man, in front of their players and said, hey, have some mandatory Zooms here and get educated.
Rachel, vaccines aren't even getting to the African American community today. Why should they trust?
Yeah.
They can't even get the vaccine in their communities. It's totally disproportionate. White people to black people and Hispanic, Latinx people, it's like double that aren't getting the vaccine because they don't have the availability. So why should they trust the medical field?
Very complicated. And of course, you have the players of the NBA affected just like the general public is. All right, our League Pass game of the night, Jazz at Clippers, 10 Eastern. All right, let's look on the red hot Jazz. Won 19 out of 20 games. They haven't lost since January 31st, guys. Utah top five in offensive and defensive rating this year. So, Coach, biggest reason for the Jazz's success, their offense or their defense?
Neither. They think in the collective. They do not have egos. You don't know who's the star night in, night out a lot of times. When we know Donovan Mitchell has star explosiveness, but every night they get so many different contributions. It's all about team for them.
Yeah, absolutely. They have guys that are stars in their roles. Russ O'Neal is an underrated two-way player. Ingles, he plays his role. Rachel, I can go on. Jordan Clarkson, sixth man of the year. I know time is short, but go ahead and take us home, Rachel.
Top five in offense, top five in defense. That is so impressive, and their streak they're on. We'll see if it continues against the Clippers tonight.